The Bible talks to us as believers, as saints, and as God's saints. And he tells us that in the life of every believer, on the day of their confession, receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, watch this. Y'all love the supernatural? Come on, we got to live in the supernatural. Come on. That the confession, receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, an incredible supernatural demonstration of God's power and power, God's love and power took place. We understand that at that moment of confession, God creates a foundation. Somebody say foundation. Now you got to run with us on this. And sets the believer on that foundation. And there they begin to build upon the foundation, which is their salvation. Watch this. By nothing less than Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. Let's go to the screen. Bring up 1 Corinthians 2:2, please. See, that's power, man. All right. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we talked about this a little bit earlier to the church at Corinth when Paul came and he was preaching and ministering. He says, hey, you know, I'm not coming to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom or the wisdom of God. Absolutely not. I'm not here to preach to you or give you another sermon. He says, I'm coming in a demonstration of the power of God. And through the power of God, salvation comes, deliverance comes, and healing takes place. Amen? That foundation is the life of Jesus, the Father's Christ, God's only begotten. And I just bring this out to you on a personal level. I'm getting more fine-tuning of this place of intimacy, of realizing the unity between God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every day I'm getting a little bit more of this uniqueness, this intimacy between the three of them, how they function and operate in total cooperation with each other. God keeps taking me back to Genesis 1:1. God said. Bible says God said. The Spirit of God was listening to what God was going to say. And it says God said, let there be light. And the Bible says light was. That's creative power. That's a supernatural manifestation of the triune God, Father, God, Son, and God, Holy Spirit. All right? Hallelujah. It is a foundation for the salvation of the believer, revealing God's love and truth, bearing witness that whosoever, come on somebody, get me out here, whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. See, at that point, our confession of faith brings us in to receive eternal salvation. No man can do that for you. Come on, I said, no man. Predestined for humanity by God himself, exemplifying his unconditional, undying love for his creation. Let's go to the screen, Acts 2:21. Now, how prophetic is this? I'm crazy. I'm intoxicated with the prophetic. That's just the way that it is. Look what it says. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple as that. You don't have to go to a school of theology to understand the simplicity of God's word. And it will come to pass. Whosoever shall call. I said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. See, upon that foundation, God invests, he bestows, he grants. He assigns to every believer his divine abilities to operate from his realm of the supernatural, where heaven's glory is active and in operation in the earth 24/7. Not just a Monday night at Genesis. It's not just a Sunday afternoon over in the Philippines. It's everywhere. My God. It's everywhere. 24/7. Right now, the Spirit of God is operating and working in you. Hallelujah. Saints, can you receive a prophetic revelation tonight from the throne room of glory? This is another thing I tapped into a couple of months ago. And it talks about the heart of the Father. That's his throne room, or the throne room of God. Excuse me, the throne room of God, where he abides. where he maintains the standard and keeping everything in functionality. The throne room of God, come on, is the heart of the Father. You'll get it. Hallelujah. It was one of those moments there. All right. So it's because the foundation of your lives have been created and laid, put down and set in position for use. It's for the now. See, every moment for us in Christ must be for the now. Not waiting for tomorrow, but for the now moment. Tonight we're in a now moment. Get ready. Fasten your seatbelts. The work of eternal salvation must become active, setting precedence, taking priority over your lives to put the supernatural gift of faith into action. Tonight, God's going to move. We sang it. God's going to move. Tonight, there will be an impartation. From the throne room of glory. From the heart of the Father. An impartation tonight. So here would become the question. If you can believe God for your eternal salvation by a mere confession with faith, then believe God and his word for everything that he says you can do for him. This is the foundation. This is the principle, the basis, the endowment from where your salvation comes from, saints. It is a template, the model, the prototype to your salvation. This is what Jesus laid out for us. It is the foundation, the blueprint to our salvation. Don't look for an excuse. We're going to get somebody mad at me tonight, but that's okay. Don't look for an excuse, not to what God is asking you to do. In fact, look for a reason. Look for a reason to do what God is asking you to do for him. So what are you talking about, Brother Michael? I'm telling y'all, from what God's word tells you to do, lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Command the deaf ears to open. Command the blind eyes to see. Come on. Command the lame to walk. Command the mountains that are in your way to be removed and cast into the sea. Command the infirmities to go. Command the diseases to go and put to death. Command the sickness to go and never to return. Command the poverty to go and the financial debt to be canceled. And when they try to come back, and they will, command them to flee, and they will have to flee. Saints, there are over 60 translations in James 4:7. And they all have the same definition of the word flee. Somebody say flee. Flee. Not the flea that bites, but flee to run. All right? Got to be careful. Sometimes the enemy, anyway. So are you ready? Come on, are you ready? Yeah. To flee means to run, to run away, to run off, to make a run for it. To take flight, to be gone, to break, to make a break for it, to bolt, to make a quick exit, make one's getaway or one's escape. Is somebody in this house? I said, is somebody in this house who will agree with the word of God? We're setting you up. Come on. God's setting us up. When we look to the foundation of God's word, we will find God's perfect plan and his purpose to advance his kingdom in the earth. And it all stems, it all originates from God's word of foundational truths. It's the blueprint for the believer's salvation. Come on, don't make me crazy up here. Again, the foundation from the life of Jesus, him being the chief cornerstone. The Bible says that as the chief cornerstone, Jesus ensures the stability of the whole system for our salvation. Screen, Isaiah 28:16. You know, when God gives you a word, he'll always back it up with his word. He'll give you a title. He'll give you an expression. He'll give you a scenario. He'll always back it up with his word, all right? Therefore, says thus says the Lord God, behold, or look, I lay in Zion a stone for what? For what? A tried stone. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Amen? He is the firmness in the steadfastness in the believer's life. He provides every believer balance. Somebody say balance. And you know what I'm talking about? Sunday's good, Monday's good, Tuesday, what happened? Wednesday, what happened? Thursday, oh, we're back in balance. Things are good again. Amen? The balance of the mind, the secureness, the strength within the inner man, the consistency, the assurance, his divine nature to walk in the fullness of his love towards other, manifesting, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit that comes from his divine nature. Saints, you know, I got to be careful here. We need to be proactive to what the Spirit of God is speaking through the mouth of his apostles and his prophets. And we see that God will begin speaking, and all of a sudden, the same thing is starting to come out. Now, we're proactive in the gifts of the Spirit, and we've been doing that since the ministry has began. And all of a sudden, the next thing that's coming up, we hear it sounding so bold and so great. And now, God's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Come on, we're hearing about the teaching of the fruit of the Spirit. And God told us years ago when we were in Saratoga for the full and true manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, the revelatory gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits, the power gifts of faith, miracles, and healing, and the inspirational gifts of prophecy, tongues, and the interpretation of those tongues. They're all purpose. They're all active. But unless they're tied together, bound together with the fruit of the Spirit, come on. Unless they're bound together with the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the meekness, the gentleness, the kindness, the long-suffering, it doesn't have the effect that it should have in the life of the believer. Amen. And so we see this culmination of things coming together in this end time over the Spirit of God. And God's raising you up, saints. Listen to Brother Michael. God is raising you up. Even tonight with this impartation, things are going to change for you. Oh, you're not hearing it. It's okay to say amen. Things are going to start to change for you. You're going to see differently. You're going to hear differently. You're going to act differently. That stuff that's in you that's been embedded in you from your past and the things that the enemy keeps trying to raise up, it's all going to diminish. It's all going to diminish. Amen. The healing of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion, this is all encased with this promise of salvation. God says we're going to work it out all at once. No, daily we work out our salvation. Come on, daily we work out our deliverance. Daily we work out our healing. That's the promise of God's word. More importantly, do understand this battle that's coming against our minds. Come on. We were just at a park this weekend, and we had an altar call. I had the privilege and the opportunity to bring forth an altar call, and we targeted specifically. Now, we're out in the park, people walking all the way around. There were the homeless and the drunkards and all the other people that were there. And the Lord put forth, called an altar call. Pastor Renato was there with us. Had an altar call, and we called out the spirit's oppression. We called out the spirits of depression. We called out the attempts of suicide upon the minds of the people. And you know what? There was not one chair that was not empty. They all came forth. I said, they all came forth. This is the purpose of God. This is a demonstration. This is why God is raising you up. And you don't have to have 50 to 100 or 1,000 people. It can be one person that God will have you go to bring the word of salvation into their life and bring a balance. Come on. Bring a balance into their lives. Hallelujah. We as Christians, we as believers of God, we deal with this on a regular basis, a battle in our mind. Come on. It may not be oppression. It may not become depression, but thoughts come to our mind that are not of the kingdom of God. They're of the kingdom of darkness. And we got to battle. We got to strategically move against those thoughts coming into our mind, because if you don't do it, who's going to do it for you? You can't wait for another week to get to a service. It may be a Monday night here. You wake up Tuesday, and then all of a sudden, you have to go for 6 days under that battle in your mind until you get back to a Monday night service. It don't work. I mean, it can work that way. But listen to what God's word says. He says, I've given you power. I've given you power, dominion over all the power of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy. Come on, saints. His divine nature to walk in the fullness of his love towards others, manifesting, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit that comes from his divine nature. His essence, oh my God, somebody, I'm starting to spit. His essence, his celestial character, his essential qualities given to his beloved on the day of their conversion. Is somebody in this house? So what does the Bible say about Jesus being the cornerstone in Ephesians 2 verses 9 through 21? Do we have that on the screen? I love it. The comparison between, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Hallelujah. Having been built, come on, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Somebody. Hallelujah. Saints, the comparison between Jesus and the cornerstone becomes very clear. See, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. As a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-rebuking child of the Son of the living God. Come on. You are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens, akapasu, with God's people and member of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus being the apostle of apostles and prophet of all prophets. So who is this chief cornerstone of our salvation? The Bible says that Jesus, who is the chief cornerstone of our faith, for there is no other name, come on, Pastor Fred, there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. If what you believe about Jesus is set correctly, the rest of the building blocks framed on your salvation for that supernatural gift of faith in you will work themselves out and your faith will endure. Taking you from glory to glory to glory. Even by the pastor, no, even by the Spirit of the living God. I'll give you a little construction knowledge here. The Bible refers here to is the chief, I'm ready to lay hands, oh my God. The chief cornerstone was the first stone laid down on the ground at one corner of the building. Listen to this. Which was then built by adding stones next to it and on top of the chief cornerstone. How important was the chief cornerstone? If the chief cornerstone was laid even slightly angled, the whole building ended up at least slightly rotated on its own axis, causing the structure to weaken. And if not restored, that structure will collapse. What is your faith built upon? Come on, what is your faith built upon? The chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Come on. See, a fracture, a crack, a split has taken place in the foundation. Let me pull that whole back. Father, I repent from those words. I read it incorrectly. Forgive me. I'm going to jumpstart this from a paragraph that is following this. Because this is when God gave this to Apostle Michael a couple of weeks ago. I said, Lord, what are we doing here? Where are you taking us on this? Because in the spirit, anybody see things in the spirit? I said, anybody here sees things in the spirit? Come on. Come. All right. Don't make me come out there. So in the position of a seer prophet, I began to see this fracture like on a fault line in the earth. And it was as a result of a shaking or an earthquake. And the foundation that was complete and level now shifted. And God says, this is the condition of my ecclesia. There's been a fracture. Come on, somebody. I know I'm going to get stuff on this one, but I don't care. There's been a fracture that has been taking place in the spiritual realm. And the church, the ecclesia, is out of alignment. A fracture, a crack, a split is taken in the foundation, maraka, of the ecclesia. But tonight we've got a good word. Hey! We got a sure word of prophecy. Tonight, the one who laid the foundation, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, the master builder, is here to repair the foundation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mesokaria Ramasa. So God's setting us up here. There it is. I'm on track. We're on track. The Holy Ghost and me, we're on track. So what God is talking about is here is that, we teach often is that when God gives us a message, we've got to understand it's first, and you've heard Apostle Dave say this many times, pointing the finger that way, one that way, but four this way. And so I said, okay, Lord, what are you speaking to me? And this is when he gets my undivided attention. He calls me by my first name. And he says, there's a fracture in your foundation. And I said, bring it on, because I want that thing right. It's got to be right, because I cannot be walking half and half. Things have got to be in balance. And whatever the fracture is it in your physical body, the foundation that you're thinking? Is a fracture in your mind? Whatever that is, God's going to bring it into balance. He's going to fill that crack. He's going to bring it into alignment tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? All right. 1 Corinthians 3:10, and we're going to finish this up. Do we have that for the screen? Yes, we do. According to the grace of God which was given to me, this is Paul speaking. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one, that is you, that is me, let each one take heed of how he builds upon it. Okay, that's good. That's cool. I've got it in the amplified here. All right. So what God's talking about, what Paul's talking about here is this master builder. This plan of building our foundation for our salvation, it belonged to God. But the execution, watch this, but the execution, the carrying out, the course of action was entrusted or assigned to Paul. Saints, just like Paul, God has assigned you, entrusted you to carry out the same plan of salvation and offered unto others. And here's the emphasis in verse 10. But let every man be careful to preach the same doctrine, go somebody, God, that Paul preached, not to practice to train anyone from another doctrine, only the doctrine of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. 1 Corinthians 2. Oh, we already said that, but I'll read it again. Paul writing, he says, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring the testimonies of the mysteries of God, For I determined not to know anything amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a, oh God, my somebody, we got to get a hold of it. But in a demonstration of the power, demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Come on. That your faith, that supernatural gift of faith, should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Here's the highlight. There is a fracture in the foundation of the ecclesia, the modern day church. God's calling us to intercede for his bride, to intercede for his church. That the release and the demonstration of the power of God would be so incredible that it would cause believers to take note of what God is doing in this end time. To bring not some things into balance, but to bring everything in balance according to his word. There's so much junk out there, so much garbage. And I've been getting for the last 2 weeks, I was sharing with some of the ministers and pastors of Genesis. I keep hearing the word depravity. There's depravity in the atmosphere. And it's utilizing its power to get a hold of the minds of God's people. The false doctrines, the acceptance of things. Anyway, let me stay on this. The things that are contrary to the word of God. But yet we've come to a place, the fracture in the ecclesia is now compromising. Because it sounds good, it looks good, it brings us to the desire, it brings people to the desires of wanting to live with God or live like God, but yet carry the things of the world with them. It doesn't work. That's improper balance. It won't work. It may serve you for a purpose temporarily, but what's the determination in that for you eternally? Got too quiet. It's resulted in the allowance of doctrines that are contrary to the life of Christ and him crucified for the salvation of humanity. Come on. The enemy is out to try and destroy the foundation of salvation in the church. That's one of his plans, one of his many. He's after salvation, saints, through worship and song and in the dance. He's after the salvation in the believer's faith. He's after those who dare to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to allow the enemy to rob me of my salvation. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to allow the enemy to rob me of my praise. I don't know about you, but I refuse to allow the enemy to damage or cause a crack in the foundation of my salvation. I got some work I got to do. I said, I got some work I got to do. Do you got some work you got to do? Can I get a witness in this house of salvation? In this house of salvation. Hallelujah. All right, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to release the prophecy. Hallelujah. Shika. Presindirikasidikia. Masa, I know what I know. Let's begin. Just begin to pray in the spirit. Come on. Let's clear this up. Come on. Mashambria santa rarabasi. Sheko sendere baria rabosa. Sheto tararabasi priti masanda ralaka. Karama. Saints, this is not a game. It's not a shim. It's not a sham. No, no, no. This is the direction. This is the indication of everything that God has prepared for us to work out our salvation. Come on. Come on. Mararabasuraya kasi. Shikababaka. And we cannot be one way in the church or in a sanctuary and be another way outside of the sanctuary. We cannot be different in our home than we are in the church. We cannot be different in our church than we are in the home. We can't. Balance. Come on, balance. Working out our salvation daily. Balance. Teremasi. God, I need help. I need your help. That I would be able to reconstruct the foundation, bring it in. I need your help, Daddy, to bring it into alignment, bring it into balance. So what do you want me to do? What do you need for me to do? Shika baka. This is my promise, says the Lord of hosts. I'm about to release, to cause a breakout from an open heaven and pour out my spirit in an unprecedented way. It will come unexpectedly. This breakout will proceed from my throne room of glory, and it will find its way into the earth, proceeding from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. It will become a virtual, an essential reality, and those who receive it will understand that it is not by the work of men, but by my spirit alone. The prophetic fulfillment for a time of accelerated development is now in the atmosphere, touching the lives of my beloved. You are my beloved. Yes, that unction of my spirit that is quickened in your inner man is directly from my heart to yours. Yes, it is I, the great I am, that lives in your hearts, calling you to a position with accelerated authority to implement my will in the earth. Get your minds off the tactics of your enemies and get your minds focused on my strategies for kingdom victories. From this accelerated authority, you will rush into the enemy's camps and seize to take back all that he has stolen from you, to take possession of the lands that I have promised you. The master key to this activation for accelerated authority will come as you acknowledge me as your savior, your redeemer, your deliverer, your healer, and your provider. I am all that my word says I am. To you, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To you, I must be the first and be the last, acknowledging that I am the one true living God. Acknowledge me with your worship, in the song and in the dance. Acknowledge me in the sounds of your voice, the clapping of your hands and the sounds of the harps and the psalmistries and the timbrels and on the cornets and on the cymbals. Acknowledging with all the instruments of sound. And as you do, I will dispense, distribute, and administer the prophetic songs for deliverance, says the Lord of hosts. I, the Lord, am seeking out those who will step into every opportunity to increase my kingdom in the earth from the foundations of their salvation, living from a life set free from the bondages of darkness. I, the great I am, seek those who will worship me in spirit and truth, putting aside man's opinions, man's doctrines, man's theories, and man's proposals of how my church should function. The prescription, the method, the formula to the outpouring of my spirit for revival in the land will come as you place your ear on my heart to hear my heartbeat for souls. Tonight, take the stand. Take a stand and remain standing on the foundation that has provided you your salvation. Do not deviate nor compromise for what the world has to offer. Remain diligent, passionate, persevere, walking out your salvation daily. This is my promise, says the Lord. I will never leave you, or somebody. I will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor will I demand you beg for me for what I have already provided for you through the life of my only begotten Son, says the Spirit of the living God. You receive that tonight? Come on, can you receive that tonight? Let God know you received that. Yes, that unction of my spirit that is quickened in your inner man is directly from my heart to yours. Yes, it is I, the great I am, that lives in your hearts, calling you to a position with accelerated authority to implement my will in the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, I went back on that, didn't I? Praise the Lord. Well, you got a double portion. Psalms, and we're finishing up here, saints. Psalms 11:3. The psalmist writes this. If the foundation, somebody say foundation. So I've got to drop this. I've got to move in the Holy Ghost. My natural tongue won't. Psalms 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, Paul makes it very clear that if we do not take charge of what God has given us, this simple foundation for salvation, and implement it and put it into fact, into place, and put it into its operation, what are we going to do? God's calling us into, God's calling the ecclesia, his church, into a higher place of accountability, not for some things. Listen, saints, and listen, we can't do it this way. We can't have one foot in the world and expect to operate with one foot in the kingdom of God. It's got to come together. We've got to come together. And you know, this whole work of working out our salvation daily, it's on a personal level. Yeah, we'll come in. You come in. We'll pray for you. We'll prophesy over you. We'll lay hands upon you. We'll cast out the spirits and all that stuff. But there's an obligation, a commitment on your part as one of God's sons and daughters. You got to work out your own salvation. And that's between you and the Father.